Where are we?
We're here in the central garden of the Getty Center. This was designed by Robert Irwin, part of the architecture of Richard Meyer's design here at the Getty Center.
And what is the Getty Center?
The Getty Center holds the collections of the Getty Museum, which includes our manuscripts, our painting, sculpture, decorative arts. Also, the photographs collection is here. The one collection that's at the Getty Villa is the Getty Antiquities Collection.
What's your name?
My name? I'm William Zaluski.
And what do you do here at the museum?
I'm one of the gallery educators. So I'm part of the education team that helps to support all of the public tours that happen at the Getty Center.
This is very exciting because we've just been walking around the galleries and we have looked at a couple of objects and they have something in common.
All things Sweden.
Yes. When we talked about doing this conversation, you said, well, I don't necessarily know that much about the time when these objects were in Sweden, and that's fair enough. And you said, well, we could talk about them as art objects and as making part of the Getty Museum. So let's do that. Let's start with a painting with a hair, because I think it's so good.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's one of my favorites, and it's a favorite of many of the students that come to visit. It's a painting by Hans Hoffmann. We call it Hair in the Forest. And it was painted at a time when the Holy Roman Emperor was Rudolf II. And he had a collection of paintings and art objects, including a drawing by Albrecht Dürer. The Dürer drawing is one of a hare, but Hans Hoffmann, inspired by the great master, gave a great environment around the hare, including a whole variety of different animals, specimen that probably were also in the collection of Rudolf II's menagerie.
That makes sense. Okay.
So it's an object that, during the Thirty Years' War, was looted from Germany and actually made its way up to Sweden.
And then it was probably owned by a couple of other people, and then it ended up here.
Yes. I think it was around the year 2000 when the Getty was able to acquire it. The Getty is acquiring paintings that have wonderful... the quality of the work remains. So the painted surface is really quite nice. It's a painting on panel, and the panel itself has warped over time. They think it probably was in front of a fireplace at some time in its history, and the surface itself has become bowed. But the Getty has specialists in conservation that are working around the world, and they are doing a panel paintings conservation initiative and training a whole new generation of conservators that are working to understand all of the different issues of what it means to conserve a panel painting. So they have great knowledge of what it is that a panel painter would have done. And it's in a perfect environment with that rabbit in its perfect environment here at the museum.
So when you take a group of students to view that kind of object, I mean, it's so many things to say about it. Where do you start?
Well, we start with what the students themselves see. So we have a rather general opening where it's like, maybe I would ask them what it is that, you know, to spend some time looking just silently. Oftentimes I invite them to think about, you know, maybe just to disarm them a bit because I'm a stranger, you know, leading them on a tour. You know, just to do things like they would probably do in their classroom. So I might say, you know, let's look together at this. I'm going to invite you to look for 30 seconds just silently, and then we'll share some of our ideas, what it is that I see or what I wonder, what I think. And the students then can lead with either a question that they have or an observation, and the conversation can go from there.
And that could obviously lead to anything. What's the most strange thing anyone has ever said about that painting? Or have anyone sort of opened up your eyes to it?
Well, one of my favorite things is that there's a whole background that is deep in shadow. And within those shadows, if we're looking and naming some of the specimen that are there, so there's butterflies that are sitting on these various plants, or you have snails and a grasshopper. There have been students who have looked deep in those shadows and have seen howling wolves, which I don't know if it was the intention of the artist to, within these deep shadows, to suggest the wolves. But if somebody sees it, well, I can go along with that too. Why couldn't there be wolves in that woods?
I mean, it would make sense if you have snails and butterflies and a hare. I mean, there would be a wolf somewhere around.
Well, maybe that's why the rabbit's ears are perked.
True that. Wow. Okay, so we have that painting, and that painting is obviously in a room. What would happen? Would you then go to the next room with your group, or how do you normally do it?
Yeah, so we have over 160,000 students that visit the Getty annually. So on any given day, that's probably about 750 students. So at any one time, we can have about 35 tours running simultaneously. And the work that I get to do is to help organize, like a conductor of a train, where it is that these tours are going to go. So many are going to be following each other either on their heels or on somebody else's toes. And so it's all clockwork. But they're going to travel through four different galleries, spending about 15 minutes in any one gallery, and it'll be the choice of the tour guide. So any docent can choose any of the artworks, or they might actually be open to allowing the students to gravitate towards the work that they would like to look at that day. So in any given hour, they'll spend about 15 minutes looking, talking, and doing activities, whether it's moving around, looking at it from different points of view, you know, even imagining maybe the sights and sounds of what it is that's happening in this forest, or could you make the sound of a rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
He was munching on those leaves.
So how many educators do you have?
Our docent program is numbers about 600. And those volunteers, yeah, we support a whole number of volunteers, both between here at the Getty Center and the Getty Villa. Those who are working in the galleries number about 200 here at the Getty Center. About 120 of them work with our school student audiences. And then our general public tours are also a robust kind of outreach that we do for the public. So on any given day, somebody could see a collection highlights tour, so a sampling of all the different kinds of collections that we have here across the different times, or a focus tour on a specific collection, like our Renaissance collection or the Baroque collections, or maybe even our French decorative arts.
So is it quite likely that if you grow up in the Los Angeles area, difficult word to say, Los Angeles area, you will come here to the Getty Center with your school, right?
Often we will see a lot of students repeat visiting. We do give a free parking pass, and the Getty itself is always free. The parking pass would allow for them to bring their families, and then they could become the guides. I'm always surprised that there are a number of students who are here for the first time. And I always say, you know, welcome back to those who are here returning.
How does that work in Los Angeles? Would you, if I'm a teacher in a school and I want to come visit the Getty, how does that work?
Yeah, the Getty has a website. So getty.edu is our website. And on the Getty website, under our school programs section, one can find a listing of a reservation that you can make. And that reservation could be at various times in the year. We start just after Labor Day, so in September, and we have tours all the way through June.
Is that free?
Everything is free. And the Getty has our bus funding program. There's nearly $1 million in a budget that helps to support schools to visit. So we have the investment that we make in what we do for school students of the city of Los Angeles is really quite extensive.
Amazing. So today, most people see pictures constantly on various digital devices. We are very used to moving imagery. We are used to digital paintings and things that sort of appear on our phones. What would you say that the Getty, this kind of institutions, what can we offer that student, fifth grader, that they cannot see anywhere else?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that in the digital world that we have in this analog kind of context is the experience of movement within a space and being able to move across a space and within a space. And many times in our decorative arts galleries, which were installed in the 1990s by Thierry Despon, a French interior design historian who, working with our curators, created a kind of immersive experience. And that immersive experience allows for one to almost feel like they're transported in place and time and being almost in the place of the Renaissance collections or a French chateau of the 18th or early 19th century. So it is kind of an imaginative experience because you get to not only be with these original works of art, but then also almost feel like you're transported in place and time, because the context of the works might emulate ways in which the display was when they're originally displayed.
Yeah, so basically you don't have to travel to Europe. I mean, in Europe, most of these items were made, of course. And that is interesting because then we're trying to make a scenery for something. We're trying to make a stage for these objects. I think what's interesting as well, and we talked about this previously, it is not a film. It's not a moving imagery. We're not trying to tell a story here, a fixed story. We're just showing objects?
Well, I think that it's been studied the way in which people move about a museum. And even if you curate a space and have an object one side by side, and you intend for these objects to be in conversation together, a visitor might move around the space in very random ways and stop here or stop there and spend, 3 seconds here, 18 seconds there. And the time that is usually used in looking at any one object is generally rather short. But in total, that kind of experience then kind of adds one to the next to the next. And then you can have maybe a deeper, fuller experience with maybe one object. And that can be transformative. The way that they have the museum designed is within pavilions. Between the different pavilions, you can step outside and have a type of relief, looking at the landscape outside, the wonderful Southern California sun, and the beautiful nature around, to reinvigorate, add energy back into your experience.
Do you know for how long visitors in general stay at the Getty?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that we have a variety of kind of times. Most people probably spend about 4 hours. They study all of the different logistics of being at a place like this. If we see nearly 2 million people between the two different sites across the year. They generally think that our parking turns over about once a day. And so that's the way that they can kind of balance the number of visitors and how long that they're going to stay. So generally about 4 to 6 hours is probably a typical kind of visit.
That's a very long time.
Well, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to get up the hill. The tram is part of the experience. And I always think that students who visit here, it's hard for us to overcome the kind of ride that they have in coming up the mountainside. But once they get into the galleries, a lot of times they have really fun experiences with, wonderful old master paintings or the sculptures that are in the collections, the beautiful art objects and our decorative arts. But yeah, the tram is certainly a highlight.
It is. I really enjoy it too, I must admit. Let's now speak about the other paintings. The other painting that I was thinking about, the Titian painting.
Yeah. J. Paul Getty had owned a Titian painting, which is of the subject of Mary Magdalene. There are several different versions of that painting throughout the world. So he had an active workshop of many different specialists that were assisting in the kind of production that he would do in painting. Probably various parts of each of the different paintings were by his hand. And the painting of Venus and Adonis was formerly in a Swedish collection, probably in the 17th century. They think that that is a signature work that was painted when he was also creating the composition for a marriage of Mary of England and Philip II of Spain. So the version that the Getty has, they think, is probably the version that after that signature version went to the couple, which is now in the Prado, it remained in the studio, that all other subsequent versions were made having studied that.
Interesting. So when is this made again?
It was made probably between the years of around 1555 and 1560.
Wow. And here we are, and that painting is still around.
Yeah, 450 years on. It's amazing. It does have a crease down the middle, so it does seem like at some point in its history it was folded over. It is a very large canvas, and it has a lot of beautiful passages of paint. One of my favorites is the fur of the dogs, and they don't know if they want to stay or if they want to go. I guess their instinct is to go on the hunt with Adonis, and they're kind of pointing him in the way. And I actually think that one of the dogs is probably mirroring what Venus herself is doing, which is kind of like holding him back, that she had the premonition that, you know, this was not going to be a good day for him, that it was going to be his downfall if he was going to go off to hunt. But
and we know he died on that hunt. It's terrible.
It is. He spilled his blood, that gored. He was gored by the boar. And, well, there was one more transformation. Her tears mixed with his blood turned into the anemone flower. So we have that to always think about, the beautiful love affair of Venus and Adonis when the anemone flower blooms in spring.
That is beautiful. That's a beautiful end to that story. It's a bit sad, though. And it's also a gorgeous painting. Yeah. I'm very happy about this little chat. I think this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted.
Thanks, Jenny. It's been a wonderful afternoon. I'm so happy you came to visit.
Thank you so much.